Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
We've been enjoying the good weather over the past month or so, but spare a thought for farmers who are watching the drought kill their crops and affect their livestock. Dara McCullough is farmer and broadcaster, and he joins me on the line now. Dara, how are you?
Hi, Claire. How's it going?
Thanks very much for coming on. And I'm conscious this is like tough listening for people. I mean, we had it in the news there at 12, the stories of climate change and the real impact it's having. And there is real switch off value in it. But unfortunately, we have to put our attention here, don't we?
Yeah, no, the birds are coming home to roost now. All the scientists have been warning us for years that our weather was going to become more and more extreme. And, I'm no different from every other punter that's been, enjoying the sun, the feel of the sun on our backs and, the lovely warm temperatures. But it is having a very serious impact on businesses and particularly on farming businesses as they struggle to adapt.
So tell us what the impact is.
Well, if you're driving around the country, you can see it. Look out the window of the car and you'll see grass, and look out the window of your lawn. It's probably a yellow colour. That means that it doesn't have much feed value. So, for a typical dairy farmer feeding maybe 100 cows, and bear in mind, there's a kind of a tale of two cities here. West of the Shannon, most of the farmers are all right. They've had pretty good rainfall throughout the summer and just slightly warmer and sunnier conditions. So that's kind of turbocharged grass growth. So they're in clover, so to speak. And on the east of the Shannon, the eastern half and certainly the southeast of the country, the fields have just burnt up. There is no feeding in those fields for the animals. So dairy farmers in particular, rely on grass to feed their animals during the summer months. They actually, 90% of the cows in this country are calved in the spring specifically to match their feed demand to the grass growth. So the grass growth normally peaks in May, June, and that's when a spring calving cow's nutritional requirements peak as well. So if there's no grass in the fields, the farmers are forced to start into their saved silage and buy an extra meal. And for a typical dairy farmer, maybe milking 100 cows, the costs, they're quite eye-watering. It's about $2,000 a week to keep those cows fed at the moment, in addition to all the normal costs that they would incur. So, the drought when I think back at home, I'm down in Waterford filming with Ear to the Ground today, but back at home is no different from down here in Waterford. We've been feeding for the last 4 weeks, and we had 2.7 mils of rainfall in July. And the bills are mounting up at a rate of knots.
So how long is that sustainable for farmers?
It's kind of a difficult question to give a black and white answer to. We don't plan to go bust anytime soon. It's painful having to dig into the resources, both physical resources in the pit and the financial resources in the bank account. But we're keeping the bills paid. I suppose if we don't get rain, if this drought goes on for more than another 3 weeks, then I think it gets a lot more serious. Because bear in mind, even if it started raining tomorrow, which it won't, it will take 2 to 3 weeks, probably 3 weeks at this stage, for the grass growth to kick back in, as in for the grass start growing and for enough to emerge on the paddocks for the animals to graze. So even if the drought stopped tomorrow and started to rain, and it's another 3 weeks before we have feed back in the fields to let the cows graze. So I know in our own case, if we don't have rain in the next 3 weeks, then we're going to be forced to start eating into our first cut silage, which is the main silage cut that we are reliant on to keep the animals fed during the winter. Now, look, we've adapted before, we'll adapt again. There was fodder shortages in the past, and that results in huge importations of fodder into the country at enormous expense. That's the last thing farmers want to be doing. But if that's what it takes to keep the animals alive and their welfare right, that's what will happen.
And droughts used to be something that you might see once a decade, but now it's more of an annual occurrence.
Yeah, I think, you know, we used to talk about, oh, well, in a normal summer, we'd be fine. You know, there wouldn't be a drought. If what I see at home on the farm is that we've had a drought pretty much every other summer, or even consecutive summers every year for the last decade. And so, you know, we've put in place some measures to try and cope with that. It's not just the fact that there's no grass growth in the fields. The animals themselves are under more heat stress, and they're obviously got strong sun on their backs all day long. So they're thirstier. The feed that we buy in, you know, if you're supplementing your feed, the absence of grass, fresh grass in the field, you're feeding either silage or meal, or maybe a combination of both, as in our case. And both of those are drier feed types. So the animal needs more water to stay right. And so the water demand for a dairy herd kind of doubles at times like this. So the cows all come out of the milking parlour and they're absolutely parched. And we had to put in two 15,000 litre tanks to act as buffers. Basically, the well couldn't keep up with the demand for the cows for water. So what we have are these buffer tanks that are filling with a little bit of water all day and all night, so that they can cope with the demand, the water demand, when the cows come out of the milking parlour twice a day.
There's a text here, Dara, I'll put it to you. They say, could farmers not be storing up the rain from earlier in the year to fight against this? Sure, it lashed for weeks at the start of the year. Is that a possibility going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that it sounds like a practical idea, but, you know, the biggest investment that most farmers are dealing with at the moment is building extra slurry storage, and that is a significant cost in its own right. To put up additional tanks, like basically rainwater reservoirs, you know, the amount of water that you'd have to store, and then the cost of spreading it on the land, if that's what this caller is talking about, would be probably negate the value of the feed that we'd be able to grow. So, like, the reason that Irish dairying and Irish farming in general is set up to, you know, harvest the most amount of graze grass during the summer as possible is because that's our competitive advantage. You know, that's a cheap source of feed. If we have to start building in irrigation systems and buffer tanks and spreading millions, if not billions, of litres on Irish pastures to get the grass to grow, we've lost our competitive advantage, and I don't see that as a way forward for the industry.
Are you worried about the future, Dara?
You'd be a little bit. Look, I mean, as I said to you earlier, you know, we've dealt with droughts before, we've dealt with national fodder shortages before, and we've come out the other side. We'd like rain. That goes without saying. But we'll keep on tweaking our system to try and, you know, make sure that heat stress isn't a factor. I mean, the other thing that's going on with the cows at the moment is that they're in the earliest stages of their pregnancy. And if they do suffer from heat stress, there's a risk of embryotic loss. And, you know, we need those cows calving down next spring when hopefully the grass starts growing again and we can have another go at it. But it is a concern. It's one of the background stresses for farmers all over the country at the moment.
I mean, Dara, you haven't made light of it, but you're still at a stage of, look, we're getting through it. What can we do? This is how we're dealing with it. But are we getting to a point where you may need to call for assistance, for grants to help with how you're going to have to adapt your business and farming? Because I'm hearing what you're saying, if we're starting to fly in feed, are we not exacerbating a system that's already buckling and adding to the problem of climate change. I would have thought the emphasis should be on protecting our local suppliers here in Ireland and the methods that we currently use.
For sure, yeah. And look, let's be clear, nobody's proposing flying in feed. So feed might get trucked in from Europe and that'll come via boat. Yes, that isn't anybody's definition of a long-term sustainable system. What can we do to make the system here more sustainable? I mean, in the last number of years, we've looked at things like multi-species wards that would have deeper rooting plants that are more drought resistant. That's one example. It's possible that there may be less livestock in the country in the future. You know, if we're able to, we're not able to sustain. At the end of the day, Claire, if there isn't a profit to be made out of the enterprise that we're involved in, you'll see those enterprises shrink and gradually disappear out of the system. So, you know, if it becomes economically unsustainable, it's not a runner.
Yeah, and that's not something I don't think any of us want to see. Dara McCullough, farmer and broadcaster, thank you so much for coming on. I'd like to get your thoughts on that. You can WhatsApp us for free, 087 1400 106, or you can email lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.